Now you have the inside contact for Alternative Talk Radio. The Planet. KGRARadio.com.
This episode of Expanded Perspectives is sponsored by Dollar Shave Club. Try your first month of their best razor along with travel size versions of shave butter, body cleansers, and yes, one wipe Charlie's for only $5. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/expanded. And ZipRecruiter. Our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/expanded. Let's start the show.
Even sure how this thing works anymore. Hey everybody, that's us. We're back. It's Expanded Perspectives, and that's right, it's me. It's Cam Hale, and I've got something new for this year, this new 2018 season. I have a new co-host. That's right, folks. It's Pleasant Kyle Filson sitting across the table.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be back in studio. I know we spoke to some of the elite members last week, but this is our first free show for the 2018.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? It's already 2018.
No.
But I'm super glad to be here. It was nice having a little break. We haven't had a break since we started this thing, really. And it was just a good time to hang out with family and friends and get a little R&R and just recharge the batteries.
We heard from so many of y'all, too, so thank you so much.
Oh,
we got
absolutely.
A bunch of In fact, that's what's going to be the groundwork for this show. We got tons and tons of stories sent to us.
Yeah, we got lots.
Wild.
Yeah, we've got lots of stories over the last couple months, and they just kind of build up. And I really appreciate getting them. Or we do, not just me. But
I don't appreciate it.
You know, and some from time to time we like to read those stories, and so we were trying to come up with a plan for this first show of the year.
Yeah,
and Cam's like, why don't we just read some listener stories? I'm like, yeah, everybody'll enjoy story time. So
yeah,
that's what we're gonna do, right?
Who don't? Yeah, well, it was fun, like I said. And we talked about being more relaxed, and it feels better. It feels a lot better to just go in here and go, you know what?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just talking to friends again. I don't feel like I need to be on display. Like, I've got to set up straight. We're both sitting up real straight right now, and you try to. I'm like, forget that. I'm just going to sit back here and relax. And
it was starting to feel like a real job.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't now. I'm glad we took the time off.
Yeah.
And got everything refocused, and it's been fun. Although, like, we get in here, and there's little noises, and we still haven't fixed the wiring issue and the clutter issue that we always talk about. There's going to be one day. You're going to be on Facebook to where Skeleton Studios burned down.
Oh, that's for sure. I thought you were going to try to say one day everything would be working fine.
No,
there'd be no
God,
mess. I'm
no.
Like, you'd like to believe that, but I don't think that that's ever going to happen.
No, it will never
just
happen.
Just like when everybody, you know, wishes for world peace. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that is never going to happen.
It never happened before.
Human beings are incapable, I think, of living with each other without causing some kind of drama.
Yeah, we're incapable of getting these wires sorted out.
Yeah, it's just an impossible
never
task.
Happen.
Let's get into the news real quick. Check this out. This is a pretty, you know, we're always reporting on these sightings of these bat-winged creatures, these Jeeper Creeper, or what's the one in Chicago that's being seen?
Just the Phantom.
The Phantom Bat thing. And here's another strange story. Now, this comes from Ohio, but it's pretty cool. The guy says, I'm 32 years old, and I'd never seen anything supernatural or alien in my entire life until last summer.
Uh-oh.
He says, I had always been and still am very much a skeptic. And to this day, I try to convince myself that what I saw was actually a really big hawk or something, but I know that I'm lying to myself. It was around 3:45 a.m., and I was driving west on Highway 322 towards Chesterland, Ohio. I'm driving a Freightliner, box truck with a load of newspapers, in the summertime at night. Now, there's always a layer of fog hanging down around the ground, and the moon was bright when the stars were out. Going about 50 miles an hour through the hills, I see this dark figure in the moonlight that was coming right at me. It looked huge. So I slammed the brakes and actually ducked down instinctively because I was driving right towards it at windshield level. I heard a big thud as the figure had gone over the cab and smacked right into the flat aluminum box right behind the cab at probably 40 miles an hour. I kept my foot on the brake and came to a stop on the side of the road, probably about 75 yards from where the impact happened. Now, wondering if it had smashed in the top of the box and thinking maybe I could see what it was that I hit, I got out and looked around. The box wasn't smashed in, so I walked around to the back of the truck, and that's when I saw it in the moonlight, almost as clear as day. This thing, Cam, was huge.
Was it so huge it was huge?
That's exactly the way it's written. I thought for sure it was dead, but all of a sudden it rolled over, and that's what I saw, its bat-like wings. They weren't bird-shaped. It rolled over and stood up on two legs and was at least 6 feet tall.
Oh, God.
The thing looked right at me with its red-orange eyes, and I was literally frozen in fear.
Caw! Caw! Like a giant bird.
I could not move at all. Then it spread its
huge
wings out, jumped up, and flew off. I ran back to my truck and took off towards Chesterland as fast as I could and spent the rest of the night on edge trying to rationalize what I had just seen. The closest thing I can describe it to is the Jeepers Creepers monster.
No, thank you.
But I was that close to it that I could see facial features with that much detail. But the 6-foot-tall bat-winged man thing with orange-red eyes, I did see that. Now, I do that route for work every week, and every time I go through that stretch on 322, I get an uneasy feeling.
Mm.
It still freaks me out almost 6 months later.
Yeah.
So, like we always talk about, this bat-winged thing that's, you know, living in Chicago, apparently now is in rural Ohio.
They've always got stuff in Ohio. Ohio is the spot for madness.
It is. It's a paranormal mecca,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's some really strange stuff goes
along
on
along with good wrestling.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. Jeff Jordan, state champ camp. But, yeah. Dude, okay, like we always say, what the hell could that possibly have been? Because there's no fossil record of anything like this. So it's not like, and you think you'd mistake an owl? Oh, I hit an owl, but I think it's 6 foot tall. I'm like, come on, dude. You would know if it was an owl.
What's also bizarre in the story, you know, and we talk about this all the time, is these things people are saying, are they physical? Now, he heard it, the impact with the truck, but when he got out, there was no damage.
Yeah.
So that's a little odd. If the story itself isn't odd enough, but that's a little odd too.
Well, whenever they talk about stuff like that, I'm glad you brought this up because it just jogged my memory about something I've been wanting to talk to you about for months, and all of a sudden it just hit me. You ever been sitting at like a stoplight and thought you heard a siren, and you're like, oh wait, maybe there's somebody, but it's not.
Yeah, no, that happens. Yeah,
Yeah, okay. I wonder if that's something that could be. Like, did he really hear that thump, or did he expect to hear a thump
because he thought
he heard it because it was the brakes, it was the shifting load in the trailer and the box truck, whatever it was.
Yeah, you're right.
And then when he gets out, he sees it, but there's no mark on the truck where it hit, but he thought he heard the thump.
Man, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Scary nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay, you know how we're always talking about Florida man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Florida man. Well, apparently he's got a cousin.
Uh-oh.
His cousin is Missouri man.
Okay.
Because Missouri man is now telling a story of a daytime Bigfoot encounter from Cryptozoology News. That's right. I went ahead and updated my page, folks. Missouri man showed he was talking to the BFRO, all right? And he claims this happened back in October of 2016. He was hunting with his son, Missouri man Jr.
Okay.
Little Miss, I guess what they call him. I'm not sure. You know, Little, L-I-L. So, and they said this big bipod showed up. Now, he claims that he was near a pond in Reynolds County,
And he said silence suddenly took over. Now, when we discussed that on the Elite Show and all, you know, this total silence. He said it was around 5 p.m. The squirrels disappeared. Birds became silent. So I started to become concerned of human activity. That's what which we've discussed this numerous times whenever all of a sudden, what did we say Thursday? It's always like when there's a predator in the woods will fall silent whenever everything finally sees it's there.
Yeah.
That's kind of what. So he goes on to say that he was scanning this whole area to see if he could see people, you know, moving through there, you know, and all. So I'm sure wherever they're hunting, he's like, maybe there's somebody in here. I don't know if it was public or private land, but, you know, it's always something to look at. He said he noticed a large black figure. Says it came walking down the other side of this hollow. Said I thought it was a man, but as it kept walking, that's when I noticed how massive it was. Now, he reports that this two-legged creature appeared to notice his presence, and then it began staring at him. The man, Missouri man, said that I could clearly see its eyes and nose. It looked at me for 15 or 20 seconds, then turned and walked down the ridge and disappeared into the woods. Now, he said that it was about 7.5 foot tall. It was an eighth, and it had hair covering its face and flesh around its eyes and cheeks. He said it was massive, and it became clear it wasn't a man. There were clear skies. I realized it was Bigfoot. I was scared out of my mind and didn't want to climb down the tree, but I had to go meet my son. And then I told him what I saw. Now, he goes on to say that, you know, he provided this location specifically for the BFRO. And he said, hey, look, don't tell anybody where we saw it. None of this stuff. Because this is, and I kind of dig this part. He said, I don't want anybody to go in there and mess with it. I saw it. I'm going to report it to you guys and tell you, you can go look for it, but I'm not telling everybody else out in town because I don't want anybody traipsing around out there shooting at it or anything like that. So he said he was kind of hoping that it would be, you know, protected in a way that way. But they go on to talk about, there was a Bigfoot researcher there in Missouri back in 2015, and you and I had talked about it. He even, and I think we talked about it on the show, played maybe some of the audio from it, from the two arguing Bigfoots that he said that, I'm sorry, folks, not Bigfoots. Two arguing big feet.
That's that right. Yeah.
They're big feet. But I don't think it was like the Sahara sounds or the old samurai or none of that. Remember, we had talked about it. We weren't sure what it was. But
yeah,
that was still from up there in Missouri, too.
Man, that is...
wild, right?
That is a wild story. It never ceases to amaze me the crazy things that people see. And in fact, I got a story coming up after the break that was sent to us by a guy that saw something in a field back when he was a kid on his granddad's farm. And it's very disturbing.
Well, the daytime sighting is the thing that really gets me.
Yeah.
It's most of dusk, dawn, night. You can understand not picking up on it, all the detail. But in the daytime, and he's talking about hunting. So, look, I don't know if it was rifle. I don't know if it was bow. I don't know what it was. The way the guy discussed it, he didn't want to, you know, let everybody know. So, obviously, killing it was not even never crossed his mind whenever he saw it.
Right.
But a daytime sighting, that's what he said. He goes, I knew it wasn't a man. It was clear skies. I could see this thing.
Yeah.
It's still one of those deals that makes me wonder, is it truly a flesh and blood creature? I never can get past that part.
I go back and forth like a seesaw about it all the time.
All the time.
It just depends on when you catch me. You could talk to me next week and I might tell you something completely different.
Well, here's what's funny. When we started this podcast, I had the idea that I was going to come to some sort of junction in my life and a point to where I would set my mind on, okay, I'm going to be on this side of the fence or this side
right,
of the fence,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in one camp or the other. And this show is going to help me find that. I'm going to get to talk to all these guys, read all these books, be involved in all this. All it's done is created more questions. That's all it's done. I have not answered a thing. All it's done is made me think crazier and crazier thoughts.
I think that's exactly the same experience I've had. And, you know, people, listeners, when they meet us at events and things like that, they do. They always ask me. They want my input on stuff. And I tell them, look, I know nothing. Yeah. All I do is report what's out there. I have no clue what people are experiencing. I myself have never had any strange sightings or experiences, but I can't tell you what these people are seeing. Yeah. But I have met with several people, both researchers, authors, and just individuals. And I can tell you, a lot of them, I totally believe they've experienced something.
Yes.
Because I just don't see the motivation for an old man in his 70s just to create that story. I spoke to a guy, in fact, his story I won't be telling today, but I think I'm going to bring it up in the next couple episodes. An old man I knew was a friend of a friend, and he was in his 70s, and this guy was certain of what he saw and, like, didn't tell anybody. He only told me because his wife persuaded him to. His wife and my mother went to church together.
I got you.
And But like, for what reason would this guy, this is, you know, this event happened before the podcast ever, but like, what would motivate him to make that story up? Just to tell a strange boy one day? I mean, it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense. But you could tell when he told me the story, I mean, the guy, he was serious.
Well, I think about it this way. If say you were going to play a trick on your mom or your wife or something like that, and you decided, I'm gonna troll them, you know, I'm never going to tell them the truth. And you put on a mask and you stalked them one night, wherever it was at, you know, wherever they were, she was working, coming out of her office or whatever, and you scared her and she thought she saw some sort of creature.
Yeah.
And you never said a word about it. She was dead set on what this person see, or whoever this person was that you did this to, would be dead set on what they had seen.
Yeah.
But you knew the truth. Okay. Let's say that you did it. You knew the truth of this whole thing. It doesn't matter if it was you or this creature. It had the exact same effect
on her,
on this person, on her, until you would tell them the truth. So no matter what this person experienced, it's still having that effect on them. Whatever they believe it is, it's still having that effect. So all the people that think they see Bigfoot, think of how many people that probably saw Bigfoot but thought they saw a bear.
Right.
You know, but it maybe wasn't a bear. They just play it off, oh, it's just a bear, and you just keep going. Who knows? And vice versa. There's a lot of, but it doesn't, it still has the same impact.
It has the same effect. Well, even the guy in the story about whatever he hit with his truck, he even says, he tries to tell himself that it was a large hawk, but he knows in the back of his mind that he's lying to himself.
Doesn't matter who throws the rock still hits somebody in the head. That's just the way the whole thing works out.
Yeah, I love those stories. And let's take a break, and then after the break, we're going to get into some more of these stories. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. We're back with Expanded Perspectives. Man, it just feels so good to be back in the studio.
I'm giddy.
Back, you know, delving into these topics and looking at these stories that listeners have sent in. Thank you so much for sending those in. Please, if you have any sightings or stories of your own you would like to share with us, as well as the listeners of Expanded Perspectives, don't hesitate, man. Send us an email. You can send it to expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Or if you don't feel like typing and you just want to tell it, you can call the phone number 817-945-3828. And if you want to use an alias, do that. You know, people write us all the time.
Most people ask to be an alias.
They say, you know, please don't use my name or something. That's fine. Instead of just omitting your name, just make up a name. Make up a pseudonym.
Yeah, don't even give us your real name. Yeah, give us the fake name.
Yeah, just say, look, this is Tom, and really, your name's Frank. I mean, it doesn't, you know, I understand that you don't want your name written. That's fine. More than happy to do that.
Unless you want us to think up of some crazy creative name for you, and we'll start coming up one. Like Benedict. We'll just start making up crazy stuff.
Well, like this, the first story I'm going to tell is a guy says he doesn't want his name read, so I'm just going to call him Professor X.
But see, that's his name. Yeah, that's it. That's the best way.
For all, you know, purposes, it doesn't really matter. But please, don't hesitate. If you have a good story, because this one of the stories I'm going to be showcasing today, the guy says that he's been thinking of sending us his story probably for 3 or 4 years, but he's always talked himself out of it. Like, just when he's about to send, he's like, nah, I'm not going to send it. But so he finally got the courage to send it. And I'm so glad he did, because it's a fantastic story. If you're sitting on a good story and you'd like to share it, please do so. You know, we won't reveal your name or where it took place. You can change the names of the dates, the places it took place. It doesn't matter. The story is what we're after. Please send that forward. Cam, you said you found a really interesting story that a listener sent in.
Yeah. And it just says it's from the listener, Shell. Now, Shell is, I don't know if it's for Shelley, for Sheldon. I don't know what it's for. But it just says from Shell is all it is.
Gotcha.
So, but it's we're just going to go with Shell, like seashell. So Shell, if you're listening, whoever you are, thank you. Is what it says. You know, big fan, longtime listener says this is, when I was 3, my parents moved us into a new neighborhood, and the house was nice, but it was kind of old. Now the neighborhood was an old 50s style track home, So it had a pretty varied group of people, says, mm-hmm. living there. Says, as soon as we moved in, my dad started to notice weird things with me. Said he would hear me giggling and laughing in my room, and whenever he went in and asked what was so funny, that I would tell him that the kids were being funny. He would also come in to wake me up and find me curled up in the closet. I says, this happened over and over again. Said, but my parents didn't think much of it because I was a pretty imaginative kid. And I think if we all were, if you're listening to this, we were all that kid. But said the thing that wigged them out the most was that I flat out refused to walk out the front door. Said I would scream and yell and cry until one of my parents carried me in and out of the house. When you walked in the front door, says, to the right there was a closet, and to the left there was a low brick wall that separated the front door from the living room. And it was about 4 feet high and about 3 feet long. It was just a room divider, but I never touched it, and I never wanted to be near it. After we lived there for a few months, my dad started making some renovations to the house. Among them was, of course, demolishing that wall. Says, so my parents dropped my brother and I off at our grandparents' the day that they were going to do it, so we wouldn't be, of course, right underneath them while they're trying to work. Said, we didn't end up going home for a week. When my dad knocked down the wall, he called the police because inside that brick wall were bones that turned out to be from children.
Oh, man.
Says the cops never did figure out who put them there. But this house had been owned by a lot of people, and many of them also had just rented it. So they've been a lot of people coming and going and coming and going, of course, before.
Right.
Said, so just one of the many weird things that happened, of course, in my town, and it was never figured out where those bones came from. Says, keep doing what you do, and I love the show.
Man, that is creepy.
So as a kid, and the way Shell's telling the story, I'm assuming that as a child was very young. So it sounds like 3, 4 years old, you know, 5, you know.
Imaginary
not,
friends.
Not old enough
like that,
to explain why you're doing the things you're doing. You're just doing these things. And it also makes me go back to think about what you and I discussed multiple times about the kids living past lives.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of like, how did you know? How did you have this connection with the bones? The kids are being funny. The kids were coming. There's no more. They, you know. So, Shell, if you're listening, can you elaborate a little bit more? Can you tell me a little bit more of, you know, were the kids coming in the house where you see, or do you even know? You may not even know, you know, so young, because I'm just one of those deals. But anyway, I completely appreciate it. It was a great story.
You mentioned the children with past lives. That is a subject I think we need to re-explore. We haven't done that in quite some time.
All right, yeah.
Because I am truly fascinated by that. I mean, some of those stories,
yeah,
it's just, it's unexplainable how a small child would have the recollection of a guy that was actually a fighter pilot on a ship in World War II. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the birthmarks and things that disappear after they get to a certain age. I don't know. I find that stuff fascinating. Well, here's another one. This is written by somebody who wants to remain anonymous, and so we're going to call him Professor X. Professor X writes in, "Hey, Kyle and Cam."
Uh-oh.
"I would like to start off by saying that I have become a big fan of your show."
Thanks, Professor X.
"I started listening to your show on YouTube, and my wife recently bought me an Elite membership for Christmas. Now, I know you guys get a lot of messages, but I have an experience that I would like to share with you both. Plus, maybe you could give me some info on what you think or if someone else has had a similar experience. If you could just read this out on your show, that would be awesome. But I know you guys probably get loads of messages and would just appreciate to hear your views on it. I don't normally tell this story, so I'd rather my name not be given out, please. It says, so I'm 30 years old now, and this experience happened when I was around 5 to 6 years old. I was staying at my nan's house, which was in Suffolk, England, as my mum was on nights. I went to bed around 7 to 8 o'clock and was listening to a story tape, and I must have fallen asleep. I woke up at 11 o'clock. The weird thing about the time is, I didn't have a clock anywhere in the room, but whenever I think back to that night, 11 o'clock is always in my mind. Anyway, my story tape was still playing as I had one of those mega advanced tape players that swapped sides automatically, lol. I leaned over and turned the tape player off and had a drink of water and settled back down, laying on my left side, facing the door, which was open. My eyes started to adjust, and I could see something at the end of the landing. The landing was quite long, about 9 feet from my door to a wall, and that's when I saw this thing. I will describe what this thing looked like. It was about 30 centimeters tall, totally black, but it looked like its skin was like a wetsuit material, so wet and shiny. A small humanoid body, but it was sitting in a crouched position with its back to me. I was like, what the hell is that thing? As my Nan didn't have any animals or anything. Plus, she was a security freak, so none of the windows or doors would have been open or unlocked. So nothing could have got in, you know, like a stray cat or anything else. It must have sensed that I'd seen it, because it turned its head and looked right at me. What also was so strange was when it turned its head to look at me, its head didn't turn in a fluid motion. It was kind of jerky, like the movement of a bird's head. And now, its head was out of proportion to its body, and its eyes were big and black. Its eyes were just like the eyes from the front cover of the book Communion. Other than that, it looked nothing like it. It also had two small holes for a nose and a small slit for a mouth. Now, for one more detail, it seemed to have kind of a suit on. At first, it looked black all over, but when my eyes had fully adjusted round its neck and wrist and ankles were kind of overlapping. What I mean is, say you did have a tight wetsuit on and got some gloves and shoes made out of the same material and overlapped them with the main suit, you would have a raised or overlap, which suggests that it was some sort of clothing or suit, which was made up of two individual parts, not just one. Anyway, at the point it looked at me, the atmosphere in the room turned very uncomfortable. I thought I was dreaming, but I pinched myself and moved about, so I definitely was awake. This scared me more, and it must have known that as it started to walk towards my bedroom. At that moment, in my head, I felt I just had to get out of there, bearing in mind I was only young, so I decided to run to my Nan's room and wake her. So I leaped out of bed, ran to her room, which was pretty much the next door, to my room, and I passed this thing. It brushed my leg, and I felt it was very smooth on my leg. Not wet, but smooth, and it was definitely really there. I woke her up straight away and literally shouted at the top of my lungs. I looked back to see where it had gone, and it wasn't there. I have never seen something like that again, which I'm very glad of, but ever since that happened, I have a huge interest in UFOs, aliens, etc., and have done massive amounts of research into the subject, even looking at pictures of aliens with those big eyes. And if I look at one now, it still makes me very uncomfortable. When I mentioned the front cover of the book Communion by Whitley Strieber, it's the eyes that were very unsettling. Now, I have thought long and hard about that night. I don't really know what it was. At first, I thought it could be sleep paralysis, but I was able to move, so I dismissed that. Then I thought perhaps it could have been a demon, I suppose. But those eyes, man, to me it felt alien, as I've heard others describe the same thing with the eyes. Now, another thing that worries me is that when I realized it was there, it had its back to me, as if it was leaving. I'm purely speculating here, but maybe it was in the room just before that, and I had been taken and was being put back in my bed when I woke up. I wasn't supposed to wake up and see it. That's why it came as a shock to me and a shock to it. So I wonder if you've ever read or been sent a story like this that could shed some light on what happened to me. I'd be most grateful. Anyway, thank you for taking the time to read this, Professor X. So, you know, I feel his pain because he's like, look, it didn't do anything to me. I don't have any recollection of it doing anything to me. But is he right? Was he taken? Was he returned to his bedroom? And for whatever reason, he woke up as it was leaving. Because this happens in so many of these cases, right? Whether it's fae folk or alien.
Mm-hmm.
When you notice something, whatever it is, it seems to notice you noticing it.
Yeah.
And it's always like, uh-oh, he's not supposed to see me. Yeah. And then he started coming. It turned around. Remember he said with a jerky movement like a bird to come back into the room to, I suppose, put him back under or whatever, or erase a memory like what they do in the MIB movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when he freaked out and ran to his Nan's room, it just went, like, I'm out of here.
I wonder if the jerkiness also comes from, like, you ever been watching, like, something on YouTube
and it starts buffering.
Yeah.
What if it's the blend? That's their buffering as they're like in between. You know what I'm saying? Like it looks jerky, but and they're actually fluid movement. But the way it is it's in that blend when they're in that veil.
Yeah. No, I totally hear you. And, I've often wondered, we know people that are not necessarily mediums, but some people are more in tuned. They're able to see things, paranormal things. Yeah, very sensitive. I wonder if it's the same thing with UFOs and extraterrestrials. Like, just hear me out here. Lots of people see UFOs and lots of people claim that like they're cloaked or it looks like they're able to cloak themselves. And other people see them. And now a lot of people that see UFOs.
And a lot of us don't.
A lot of those people that see UFOs claim to see them multiple times in their life, where most of us aren't even lucky enough to see it once. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if it's similar. Are there certain people that are like a sensitive or a medium, they are in tune and they're somehow able to see these UFOs or these extraterrestrials? Like, maybe they're there all the time. It's just me and you. We don't ever see them.
Hell, I'm colorblind.
Right?
Maybe I'm UFO blind.
Yeah, maybe that's a real thing. And the same, and then I start expanding on that and start thinking, is it similar with Bigfoot? Like, certain people are just from birth, they're much more likely to see something like that versus other people. It doesn't matter how interested you are in the subject, you'll never see it.
Their antenna just picks up a little bit more than yours picks up.
Their wiring in their brain is just a little bit different. I don't know. Well, I wonder that when it comes to these strange sightings, because you and I both know certain people that they always have weird stuff going on, man.
Well, I'm glad. It's funny that you say that, because now you think about it, because we always see those people that are just naturally good at, like, just artists. They're a naturally good artist. They're a naturally good athlete. You're like, well, how are you so much better than everybody else? So if physically you could be better, and we already know that there's super geniuses out there, so physically or mentally they're much, why couldn't there be something like that where they're more in tune with it?
I think so. I think it's a real possibility.
And I am truly just a lump of crap. I mean, I'm not an athlete. I'm not very smart. I'm not physically gifted. I'm not in tune with anything around me. I'm just like here. You know what I am? I'm a sloth.
Yeah.
I'm just one of those just slow moving. Just, hey, I'm like that sloth on the Zootopia show.
When it tells the joke real slow. Yeah. I like the Geico commercial where the guy, it's just drawing a straight line. They're like, oh, no, it's a two-seater bicycle.
It's a tandem bike. Yeah, they're like, coin slot. Yeah. Yeah. I'm that guy. I'm that dude. Well, we were talking about kids having, coming back reincarnated, but it's funny that you brought that up. Robin emailed us this, and Robin says that my sister has a dog that had a very distinctive curl on this dog's lip, and said that my sister and I always thought it was funny because we said it looked like our deceased grandmother's lip.
Okay,
that was the whole thing. So it says, one day we're at my sister's apartment and we're just hanging out, just chilling. And says the dog is over there and in its little dog bed sleeping. It says that I notice the lip curl. I look over the dog sleep. I see the lip curl. So I look over there at my sister and I said, have you ever thought maybe your dog is our grandmother reincarnated? That's her. Yeah. That's this because the way she looks. I said, we kind of laughed about it. Not making any more noise, anything any less, any loud, and says the dog raises its head and starts looking at him. And he says, and it had this look on its face. This dog had this look on its face that was very strange. It said she starts tilting her head kind of back and really glaring at them. And it said, of course, now my sister, who this is her dog, she's had it her whole life. This whole life of the dog is belonged to my sister, said that she's not only never made this look on her face, she's never turned her head like that at all. Nothing. So I said, we started laughing. So my sister was kind of like, well, if you're our grandmother, why don't you give us some sort of sign that you're our grandmother? Show us what you got, talking to the dog. Says the dog looks out the window at this bush, okay? And said, so just looking out there and says, now, get a load of this. And says, my sister goes, now imagine if a robin landed in that bush right now. Because robins, says our grandmother's favorite bird. Hands down, this is what said she collected them, okay? Everything she had in her house was all robins. So they laughed about it, said they forgot about it. She said her sister comes home one day from work and finds in that bush right outside the window a robin's nest with baby birds in it. Baby robins.
What's the
exact same one? Yeah.
What's the chances? Yeah.
She said it's not like a tree like you would expect. It's just a little bush. Like, why would robins build a nest right there? Now, Robin goes on to say, hey, look, man,
this is no, and of course, Robin's probably not Robin's real name, being that Robin loves the grandmother and all, who knows? But Robin goes on to say, hey, look, it's probably just a coincidence. You know, just the way this is, the dog, we laughed, the dog woke up. It's had this, and we've put it all together because we miss our grandmother dearly.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, this whole thing. It's his whole deal. But it's just like, what if she's just showed up a little bit longer to kind of keep tabs on you? Because it always makes you wonder. You know, and it probably it's just human nature wanting it to be. You just kind of long for that one hug from a loved one that you just wish you could do. Or everybody always like 5 minutes. I miss them so much. I just want 5 more minutes with them. And this whole thing, maybe that's probably all it is. We're just looking for that comfort. But it is funny that it happened to look like the grandma. The dog looks out the window. There ends up being a robin's nest right there. It's just all crazy stuff.
That is.
But Robin, thanks for sending it in. It's just crazy.
Yeah, thanks for the story. This next story, man. This is one, you're going to like this one, Cam. I know it. The person, William, who sent this in. This is a very interesting story. I don't even know how to classify it, like where to put it, what kind of category, other than some strange cryptid being. But interesting nonetheless.
Let's All right, here we go.
Check this out. He says, hey, guys, I love the show. You're always asking for listeners to send in their stories for you guys to read possibly on the air. Well, I've got one for you. It's strange. I've been thinking of writing you guys for over 3 years now, but I've always talked myself out of it. This story still kind of freaks me out when I think about it, and I've only ever told my wife about this occurrence. I wish to remain anonymous, so just call me William, and I don't really want to give up the exact location, but let's just say the incident took place in a rural area of Nebraska, just outside Rising City. It's a small town, about 20 or so miles northwest of Lincoln, Nebraska. It happened back when I was a kid. I'm 43 years old now, and I was around 10 years old at the time. That would make it in the year 1984, I believe. Anyway, the event took place on my grandparents' farm. My granddad was a farmer. Most people we knew were. And I remember staying with my grandparents a few weeks every summer. You see, me, my two sisters, and parents, well, we lived in Kansas City. And I loved it out there, you know. It got me out of the city. I would help my granddad in the field. I would drive the tractors, and I would help him cut the hay. We normally cut the hay during late June or early July. Anyway, it was always a highlight of my trip, getting to drive those tractors around. Now that I've laid down my background a little and set the scene in your mind's eye, I will tell you something so bizarre, so strange, I can't hardly believe it now. My parents drove us out to my grandparents' farm and dropped us off like they always did. My sisters would help my grandmother, and me and my granddad would head off into the fields for work. Everything was working along fine. Nothing out of the ordinary. That was until 7 days in. That's when the strange anomalies all started. On the 8th day, I awoke to see my granddad staring into the fields. Just looking. He was surveying the landscape for what? I didn't know. I looked too, but I didn't see anything. After a few moments, my granddad said, "They've moved." I looked at the fields again and saw nothing but bales of hay strewn around the empty field. He said, "You don't see it, do you?" And I said, "See what?" He said, "The bales of hay. They've all moved. Someone has moved them around. But how? And for what purpose?" Well, he was right. Now that I knew what to look for, I think I could tell that they were moved. Not a lot, just a few feet, but all of them moved slightly away from the farmhouse. I asked him, "What are we going to do?" And he said nothing, and we went on with our daily chores. The next morning, it happened again. They were all moved, but this time, much larger distances. Now they were being moved hundreds of feet. All moved away from the house. This would continue over the next few weeks. Every morning when I woke up, each had moved a few hundred feet from where it was before. Now, mind you, my granddad seemed undeterred by the strange activity. He simply ignored it. I, on the other hand, was getting kind of ticked off by it. I was angry. I mean, what jerks had nothing better to do than to torment a simple farmer in his fields? I assumed it was pranksters, nothing better to do. And so, I pressed on. Within a few days, though, the bales began to approach the boundaries of the farm. I was tired of the whole game by then and decided to move them back. It took a tedious few hours of work to bring them all from where they were back over near the house again. And by the time I was done, I was ready to snap the neck of whatever little pissant was deciding to screw with me. The next morning, I noticed the bales of hay had all returned to their positions from the day before, scattered far out into the fields. This time, I left them where they were. That night, I sat on the porch with my shotgun in hand and a pot of coffee on the table beside me. I sat for hours, straining my eyes into the fields to catch a glimpse of who was moving my granddad's hay bales. Finally, I was beginning to nod off. I would have, but just as my eyes began to close, I heard a clamor and a rustling of the trees from the nearby woods. I leaned forward, my heart racing with excitement. I was going to catch the guy. I fumbled with my gun and fidgeted in my seat, waiting anxiously for whoever it was to get close enough so I could ambush him. It was only then that the thing got close enough for me to make out its silhouette in the dark, and I was frozen still. The thing that crept into my granddad's fields from the nearby woods didn't seem to notice me sitting there. It stalked, hunched, and deliberate through the field with the posture of a tiptoeing thief. If not for the fact of that, it must have towered to over 7 feet tall, even in its crouched position. It might have seemed almost frail. The thinness of its arms and legs seemed impossible. I mean, this thing, whatever it was incredibly skinny and thin. It walked on two legs and had two very long arms. It looked ominous and emaciated. Caved-in quality of its chest reminded me of a starving animal. Still, this thing was undeniably strong, and I watched it hoist each bale up into its arms with ease and set it down carefully a while away, taking only a few strides to cover the distance. I watched it work, moving each bale thoughtfully. Every once in a while, it would straighten up to look around at the other bales' positions in the field before adjusting the one it was working on ever so slightly. Before it left, it looked towards the house. I felt its eyes sweep over me in the dark, but whether it saw me or not, I couldn't tell. Then, it turned silently and crept back the way it came, disappearing into the dark of the woods. It took me an hour before I had the courage to move at all. I went inside after a while, but didn't sleep at all that night. It was only when the sun rose that I dared to step off that granddad's porch into the fields. The hay bales were where I left them. Strangely, it didn't move them as far as it had the previous days. They were approaching something invisible in the fields. And as I looked at them, I realized that they seemed to be marking some sort of line. Indeed, as I walked around the house, I saw the distinct circle that was being formed with me and the house at the center. At first, I thought the bales were just being haphazardly moved away from the house, but now I could see that they were instead being moved towards some invisible boundary. The thing was sending me, or us, a message. I slept uneasy that night, and only because I was exhausted. The next morning, the bales hadn't moved at all. They didn't move at all for the rest of that week. In fact, they were finally where the thing wanted them to be. I made myself sick trying to interpret them. Why would this thing expend so much energy moving my granddad's hay bales? Well, I told my granddad about what I had done, how I had grabbed his shotgun, gotten some coffee, and sat on the porch all night to try and see who was moving the bales of hay around. And all he said was, "Well, did you see anything?" And I said, "Yeah." And then I proceeded to tell him about the whole encounter. He just stood there, as white as a sheet, and listened to every word as I described in detail what this thing looked like and how I saw it moving the bales of hay. When I finished, he took both of his hands and put them on both of my shoulders and looked me right in the eye. He then told me an incredible tale. He told me, in a very serious tone, and I do mean serious, "William, you are never to speak of this again. You are never to tell anyone about the field, the hay bales, and the creature you saw. "Do you understand?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Do you know what it was?" And he told me that a similar thing had happened on the farm back when he was a little boy. Now, he never saw the creature himself, but he clearly remembers the hay bales being moved around and a few chickens had gone missing, and his father definitely saw it one time. He then told me that he had always hoped that the thing would never return and that it had died a long time ago, but apparently not. His father was told by an old Native American man that that thing, now I don't remember the name for it, but that thing was not to be messed with. Leave it alone and don't cross the line it has drawn or something bad might happen. That thing, I guess, shows up every couple of decades, causes a little mischief, and then disappears until the next time. Well, a couple of days later, it was time for me and my sisters to go home. My parents drove out to my grandparents' farm and picked us up. Before I left, I gave my granddad a big hug, and he looked at me intently. I just nodded my head, said goodbye, and climbed into the car. I never told anyone about this for a long time, just like I promised. I eventually told my wife, and now the world, I guess. Me and my sisters continued to go out to the farm every summer for another 5 or 6 years. Nothing else ever happened to me, and my granddad never spoke of it again. He passed away about 8 years ago now, and I've always wondered, but was too afraid to ask, what else he knew about that strange creature. Did he ever see it again? And why was it so interested in the hay bales, but I never got the chance? I wish I had a better understanding of what it was, but I don't. I'm only left knowing that the world is far more bizarre and strange than we humans will ever know. Thanks for all of your hard work. Take care, William. Now that, my friend, that's a story.
That is so crazy.
So some super tall, emaciated, skinny beast is on his granddad's farm, and it's moving the hay bales, trying to form an invisible line to let them know, clearly don't come crossing, don't come past here. Leave me be, or whatever.
It reminds me of the one that we got from the guy that was the military security guard.
That I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I was just fixing to mention to you.
It reminds me of that, but except this one had drawn a line. This one was like, it has to be some sort of fey creature.
Well, and that's what
it has to be, because it's like, you stay in your spot, I'll stay in mine. Don't come over here.
Well, and the
don't worry, bro.
The interesting part of the story too is that the grandfather recalls it happening once when he was a young boy, and his dad told him that the Native Americans in that area had told him about what it was. He said he couldn't remember the name for what they called it, but they clearly had a name for it.
Mm.
And, not to mess with it, just leave it alone. It'll go away. It usually only hangs around for a couple weeks, and then it's gone. I don't know, man. He gives a brief description of where it is, somewhere in rural Nebraska, outside a small town. I think he said it was called Rapid City or something like that. It makes you wonder, is there still stuff going on out there now?
Yeah.
Is there another farmer whose bales of hay are being moved around and he just doesn't know what's going on? He thinks people are messing with, like, some kids are coming out here at night and moving these bales of hay. Now, from people listening to the show that may not know, hay can be made from several different types of grass. And of course, depending on the type of hay it is, the weight of the hay bales can change dramatically. Mm-hmm. So yes. You got alfalfa, it's pretty light. If you got like peanut or something like that, that stuff, or Sudan, that stuff can be very heavy.
Heavier, yeah.
So it's not like it would be an easy task if there was a group of, say, teenage boys that wanted to go and move around as a joke 150 bales of hay.
I'm not a fan of hauling hay, and I've hauled way. I wished I could say I never had done it, but
we've done
it
together.
Way too much of it.
In the summer in Texas. But in the summer in Nebraska, it would be just as hard.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No.
As a joke, I wouldn't run around moving hay bales.
No, I think I could come up with a better joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toilet paper?
Yeah. I like to go around and mend fences as a joke.
Yeah.
I
want to build fence. Yeah. I like to do all that. I like to clean your fence line, mow your bar ditches. Yeah, that sounds as a funny joke. No.
But what's funny is also when the bales of hay were being moved around. You remember the guy talks about how his granddad didn't do anything. Like, he was just ignoring it. Like, it wasn't happening. He was getting frustrated. Like, this doesn't make you mad? He's like, no. And the kid was getting pissed. He's like, look, somebody is jacking with my granddad.
Grandpa knew more than he let on.
Well, right, until he didn't know that he didn't want to let on. But when his grandson said, yeah, I saw it, that's when he was like, look, I know what you're talking about. Don't ever bring it up again. And then at the end of the story, so much like we always talk about, he's passed away now, and he always wanted to ask him, but was always too afraid because he has a lot of questions. And I bet he did.
Yeah.
Like, what do you know?
Grandpa knew something.
I bet. I bet. I love stories like that. So thanks for sending that in, whoever you are, William, if that's your real name or not. I really appreciate it. Well, let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I hope you enjoyed those stories. I know I did. I wished I knew more about this slender, rake-like figure this guy was seeing out in the fields at his granddad's place up in Nebraska. But for now, we'll just have to wonder.
I don't want to know any more about it. I'm good. I've learned enough, man. I'm good.
Yeah, we got some news on a group of that follows the show, the Thylacine Research Unit, our buddies down there. From the land down under, Warren, Derek, Chris Copeland, and Bill Flowers. Now, we've had them on the show a few times. These guys are searching for the thylacine. If you're not familiar with the thylacine, that's the Tasmanian tiger. Now, the last one that they knew that existed was in a zoo, I think, died in like 1921. But
the Hobart Zoo.
Yeah, there's several people, even today, that claim that they see them on their property. You know, just like in the story, farmers claim that they see them. They have game cameras and stuff, and these guys are dedicated to it. They have a whole website and everything. We've talked about it before. Well, they have a series out, a video series. Now, they were on the Discovery Channel there in Australia for a couple of episodes. So now they got how many? 12 new episodes that are out for your viewing pleasure. If you're interested in cryptozoology, if you're interested in the thylacine, if you're interested in the Tasmanian tiger, or you just like following things that we support on this show.
And the dudes are fun, man. Yeah. I love those guys.
Yeah, Waz and Chris. Now, I never spoke to Bill, but Waz and Chris, we've spoken to them several times. They're great guys. And you can go to Vimeo, but we have a link.
We've got a link. Yeah, you can get 10% off. Now, here's the link. EXP Thylacine.
That's
the promo code you're going to go in. So you're going to go to Vimeo, like anything else, like you go and watch, which Vimeo is fun as hell. I love going on. There's all kinds of stuff to watch on there. So you go on there and you put in, you go and click on there and then you find them, of course, and all that stuff. We'll have links up for it.
The name of the series is The Thylacine Road Trip.
Yes.
And then you put the promo code. What's that promo code?
EXP Thylacine, all one word.
There you go.
You'll get 10% off.
And you can check that out. I'd like to give a big shout out to Dylan Ashburn.
Oh, the Irish Dragon.
The Irish Dragon's a friend of ours. He's an MMA fighter. He's a pro fighter.
Pro MMA fighter.
He fought this last weekend. And, man, he demolished that guy.
Yeah, look, I don't know what happened. I need to talk to Dylan. I had spoke to him a little bit over the weekend after he'd won and all that stuff, but I forgot to ask him because they switched fighters on him. Like the man he was training for ended up pulling out and this guy ended up taking the fight, and I forgot what all had happened, but Dylan came out on fire, boy. He shot out there, went to putting hands on this dude, man. It was, whoo, well, ended up getting the win by rear naked choke.
He changed the game. I think his first two pro appearances, he kind of slow played it, played cautiously.
And I'm sure it's overwhelming to go from being an amateur to a pro. Yeah.
I mean, sure. Please, look, I'm not giving the guy any tips. I'm just saying he was looking to counter in those two fights. So in this fight, he came out of the gate like Vitor Belfort style. He rushed him.
And for a guy, okay, look, Dylan's not a big guy.
No, I think the weight class is like 138.
125 or 135. 135. I think that's what he was in, 135 maybe. He's not a big dude, but what's crazy is he's got that crazy knockout power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was... in his corner, I was like 6 foot from the cage on his last amateur fight when he won the belt here. And I watched him Superman punch a guy and shatter the guy's orbital socket.
Yeah.
And I was like, good Lord. And I've rolled and trained with Dylan, but I'm like, good Lord, where did that come from? And when he hit that guy this weekend, you could see the look on the dude's face was like, he wasn't expecting that kind of power.
Yeah.
And Dylan, and he's fast, and he slipped in there, blap, hit that guy. And the dude, the look on his face, like, whoop. And then Dylan one-two'd him, and he just buckled. And then Dylan never let the power, never let off the pedal. He just stood on him and kept hitting. But I tell you what, the guy was doing a really good job of doing a lot of blocking and covering up. And then Dylan drug him down, took his back, and ended up choking him.
And that was it.
And that was it. I'll tell you something else, too, that we've got. I'm always surprised whenever we get messages and things from all you guys. Thank y'all so much. That are all the artists. And I don't mean just like painters and all. I'm talking just like musicians and like pen and ink and tattoo artist. I'm overwhelmed because I have nothing artistic in my life. Like I make messes. That's like the only thing I make. And I'm blown away by whenever we deal with all these musicians and these artists that email us and talk to, I'm jealous of their ability, you know, and all this. So, and there's a band that I've been talking to and I've been listening. And I was actually listening to them by accident and then ended up, they listened to the show and it's back and forth. They're called, the name of the band is Indica Roots. Indica, I-N-D-I-C-A Roots. And they're like a beach reggae rock. I just love it, man. I listen to it when we play disc golf. It's one of my go-tos. Like if I want some really fun beats, and that's what it's, so folks, if you want to check out some good tunes, listen to that stuff. And then of course, you know, we've got the guys like our amigo Charlie Shafter. I love me some good Texas country, so I have to listen to Charlie. And of course, like I think Charlie's from up in Illinois. I think it's where Charlie's actually from. So I don't think he's from Texas, but we'll take him. He's a great guy. So we'll go ahead and take him in too.
That's right. I've noticed that we've gotten a lot of reviews.
Oh yeah.
So please keep that coming. If you want to support the show and you want to help us out, there's no better way than going on iTunes and writing us a review. It really gets us up there when people are searching for new podcasts. If you're highly reviewed, you got a much better chance of people listening to your show, which in turn helps us out. So we really appreciate everybody that's written us a review. Please keep that coming. We're like at 715 now. I'd like to try to break 1,000 by the end of the year.
That would be amazing. You know what? Next show, I'm going to start doing some shout outs. We'll start breaking them out.
Yeah. Right?
I'm going to go back, folks. We won't do a ton. Let's just do like 10 a show till we finally catch up to wherever we're at.
There you go.
We'll just do something like that.
That sounds good. What do you got planned for your week, Brad?
Man, I had to work this weekend some, which is odd for my position, but we're having a few issues. And of course, it always gets wacky around this kind of year, you know, with the way the weather goes and things. But I had a piece of equipment lay down on me, and I've been messing with that thing. So I will be working on equipment and just trying. So far, everything's going real smooth.
Yep.
So everything is flowing, and I like that. The weather was bad, and it was real windy, and so we didn't play in the disc golf tournament we thought we were going to play in. I played in a little one on Saturday. Kyle ended up having to work, and then Sunday we didn't play at all. We just relaxed.
The weather got nasty.
Yeah, so
windy, raining, and stuff. Yeah. That's not really when you're already terrible at disc golf. Yeah. I don't need Mother Nature competing against me. In addition,
yeah, there's going to be a lot of good days, so I don't really need that. But yeah, that's about it. We are fixing to start dropping more shows on YouTube. We're going to start re-releasing all that stuff back over there again. So that's going to be coming up real soon. And then we got something else in the works. And if I can get it worked out, whatnot, we'll probably discuss it with y'all next week.
That sounds like fun. Don't forget, if you want more of the show, there's Expanded Perspectives Elite. You have to go to the website, expandedperspectives.com, to sign up for that. You'll get an additional show every week, along with access to the entire back catalog, all for only $5. And your monthly contribution helps out this show tremendously. If you have a story of your own you'd like to share, email them at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 817-945-3828. And you can follow us on all forms of social media. Let's thanks again to our sponsors, Dollar Shave Club. Try your first month with their best razor, along with travel size versions of shave butter, body cleanser, and yes, one wipe Charlie's for only $5, but you got to use the code. That's dollarshaveclub.com/expanded. And ZipRecruiter. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. You just go to ZipRecruiter.com/expanded. I hope everybody out there has a good week. For you elite members, we'll be talking to you later this week. For everybody else, we'll talk to you next Monday. For Pretty Lights, Inner Tradition Books, New Page Books, Anomalous Books, Llewellyn Books, and Ancient American Magazine, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.